Today we're honored to have Pastor Josh Crockett, who is the pastor of Morningside Baptist Church. Pastor Crockett and his wife Katie have four children, two girls and two young boys. And they both graduated from Bob Jones University. Pastor Crockett graduated in 2001 with his undergrad in speech communication. He went on to get his MDiv. He was also a GA for 3 years as he taught speech. And so we're really thankful for God's gifting him. His brother Nathan serves here on our staff as our director of our ministerial training and Bible teacher. And so we're just thankful that God brought Pastor Crockett here and for the good people at Morningside who enjoy his ministry in the Word. And so, Pastor, you come and preach God's Word to us this morning.
Thank you, Dr. Pettis, for the opportunity to be here with you. If you have a Bible, let's turn to James 1. This morning we'll be in James chapter 1. After preaching, a pastor was standing in the back of his church and shaking hands when a little white-haired old lady came up and said, "Pastor, that was a wonderful sermon." And if she'd stopped there, he wouldn't have thought much of it. That's what little old ladies tend to do in church, is come up and compliment the pastor, and we'll take it. We appreciate that, and it's a big encouragement. But then she continued. She said, "Pastor, it was just wonderful. Everything you said applies to someone I know." Now, oftentimes, that is exactly the way we hear God's Word. As we hear the Word preached, as we hear the Word taught, we immediately start thinking of everyone it applies to except me. Now, James has a very high view of God's wisdom and God's Word. He says in verse 21 that it has the power to save your soul. But then he issues a caveat. He says, you know, it's not enough to merely receive God's Word. It's not enough to merely hear God's Word. You have to be a what? A doer of the Word. Why? Well, first of all, he says, because hearing the Word and not doing it leads to self-deception. Look with me at verse 22. "But be ye doers of the Word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." The word "hearer" would be similar to somebody who audits a class. Someone who simply comes to class and listens. They don't have to do the homework. They don't have to take the quizzes. They don't have to take the exams. They don't have to turn in projects. All they have to do is show up. The problem is that they don't get any credit at the end of the semester. It doesn't apply toward a diploma. And so you can't become a nurse or an attorney or an engineer by merely auditing. It's informative. It's enriching. But you don't get credit for just hearing. And in the same way, James says you cannot merely audit God's Word. You can't be a hearer only. You have to be a doer. Now, James is writing to Jewish Christians, people who grew up taking pride in how often they heard the Torah, how often they heard the Word of God. Most of you this morning in this room, over the course of the next few months, this semester, will hear God's Word over and over. In church, in chapel, in Bible class, in Bible conference, from Dr. Pettit, from Dr. Horn, from gifted teachers and preachers, you'll hear the Word for hours every week. But James says that's actually dangerous. You say, well, how could that be dangerous to merely hear God's Word? The danger is that if you only hear the Word without doing anything about it, that you could start to deceive yourself. You could start thinking, you know what, look at all the sermons that I've heard this semester. Look at all the wonderful Bible classes that I've sat through. I must be a good Christian. I mean, look at me. I'm sacrificing to go to a Christian university, to be surrounded, to be saturated by the Word. That has to count for something. And James says, no, you don't get any credit for auditing. You cannot merely hear the Word of God and then live however you please. You have to let God's Word change you. You have to let the Word transform you. You have to be a doer if you think you're going to get credit for auditing yourself to see. If you think that you're somehow spiritual for merely listening, you're deceiving yourself. See, James is less concerned with how many sermons you hear and Bible classes you sit through. You can talk all day about your faith. James says, show me your works. Show me how the Word, how the Gospel is transforming you, how it's turning you into a new creation. Because God hates self-righteousness. God hates hypocrisy. If you are hearing the Word without any transformation, James says you're deceiving yourself. And then he illustrates in verse 23. For if any be a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face. That's literally the face that you were born with. For some of you, that's a good thing. For others of us, not so good. But beholding his face in a glass, which was an ancient mirror. James says, looking at your life in the Word of God is like looking at your face in the mirror, which is something that hopefully all of us did this morning. Some of you say, my roommate did nothing but look in the mirror all morning long. They hogged the mirror the whole time. One survey found that over the course of a lifetime, Americans spend 7 hours on average in the bathroom. I'm not sure how they gathered that information, but that's what they say. We get up in the morning and immediately, what do most of us do? Maybe we grab for our phone, but we look in the mirror and we do a damage assessment. We behold our natural face, the face we were born with. We behold our natural hair. Some of us don't have much of it left, but the hair that we slept on. And we say, oh, wow. And then we get to work. For some, it's like a construction zone or a work of art. And there are all kinds of products and war paint that go into it. And finally, when we're finished, some of us, it takes an hour, then we leave the mirror. But what if, James says in verse 24, what if he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth, or intentionally chooses to forget what manner of man he was? Now notice James uses the pronoun he. James says, what if some guy rolls out of bed in the morning, he needs to shave, he has body odor, he has bedhead, he sees the damage in the mirror, he says, oh wow, but then he says, oh well, I'll forget about it. And he goes on with his day. James says, this is how some of you hear God's Word. Your pastor or your teacher or Dr. Pettit is preaching, and Hebrews 4:12 says the Word of God is quick and powerful. It's alive and active. It's like a two-edged sword. It just pierces you. It lays bare your soul. It discerns. It reveals the thoughts and intents of your heart. And you say, oh, wow, I'm proud. Oh, wow, I'm selfish. Oh, wow, I'm greedy. Oh, wow, I have a lust problem. Oh, wow, oh, wow, oh, wow. But then some of you say, oh, well, I'll just forget about it. And you go on with your day. James says you would never do that physically. I mean, think about all of the stuff on your counter or in your cabinet that you have specifically purchased and set out to deal with the morning oh wow. Some of you, when you travel, you bring an oh wow bag with you because you don't want to go one morning without addressing the oh wow. James says that's how you should treat God's Word. And yet, unfortunately, some of us spend more time addressing the oh wow that we see in the bathroom mirror than the oh wow we see in our heart when it's confronted with God's Word. We hear God's Word and we say, oh wow, I need to do that. Oh wow, I need to quit doing that. Oh wow, I need to change that. Oh wow, I need to resist that temptation. Oh wow, oh wow, oh wow. But then you walk away from the mirror and you say, oh, well, I'll just choose to forget it. He says, when you do that, when you hear God's Word and you intentionally choose to forget it and to go on your way, he says, you're deceiving yourself. It would be like getting up and you look in the mirror and you say, oh, wow, there's this little patch of hair right between your eyebrows. and it's going all kinds of crazy directions, and you think, I probably ought to shave that, but oh well, I need to get to breakfast. So you go to breakfast and you're sitting with your friends, and one of your friends leans over and says, hey, did you notice you've got this kind of funky unibrow going on this morning? And here, I've got a Swiss Army knife. Why don't you just go to the bathroom and take care of it? And you say, yeah, thanks for, I did see that. I noticed it. I should have shaved it, but no, I'm just going to try to forget about it. You go on with your day, and people are staring at you and talking behind your back, and nobody can make eye contact with you. And that night you get to discipleship group and you say, guys, would you pray for me? I have a unibrow that I really need to take care of. And several people talked to me about it today. One of my teachers thought there was a caterpillar on my forehead. People are nicknaming me Bert from Sesame Street. Could you guys just pray for my unibrow? I've got to get rid of this. And they all look at you, and your roommate reaches over and says, look, here's a new razor. Why don't you go to the sink and just take care of it? And you say, well, no, I really don't want to do anything about it. I just want it to be a prayer request. I want people to pray about it and talk behind my back about it. James says, that's crazy. You're deceiving yourself. Don't just pray about it. Don't just talk about it. Do something. Some of you this morning know about a besetting sin in your life, a lust that you're indulging, an addiction that you're developing, a habitual sin that you're feeding and refusing to repent, refusing to address. You minimize it. You make excuses. You say, I'm just going to try to forget it. Or even you may say, well, I'll admit that it's there, and that makes me feel good because, well, now at least I'm being honest and transparent. James says, no, you're self-deceived. You're deceiving yourself. It doesn't matter how many times you talk about it. It doesn't matter how much you say I could or I should. You have to submit that area of your life to God's Word and the work of God's Spirit. Because hearing the Word and not doing anything leads to self-deception. Second, James says on the flip side, the reverse of this truth is that hearing the Word and doing it leads to blessing. Look at verse 25. But whoso looketh, and that means to look intently. Some of you, or maybe your mom or your grandma, have a look intently mirror. And it's circular, it's on this little stand, and you plug it in, and it lights up, and it has this magnification power, so that when you look down into this mirror, it makes every pore look like a cave. If you tilt that mirror the right way, you can look up through your nostril and see your brain. This is intense magnification. It shows every single blemish on your face. James says, that's the way you should look at God's Word. That's the way. It's not just a superficial, shallow, cursory reading, skim. Okay, I had my devotions. But staring intently into God's Word like the psalmist and saying, Lord, search me and try me. Lord, I delight in the law of the Lord. I want to abide and meditate here day and night. Now, what's interesting is that he calls it the law of what? The law of liberty. You say, well, I always thought people looked at God's Word and God's laws as restrictive and narrow. I thought of it more like slavery than liberty. See, again, James is writing to former Jews who often viewed their religion as just outward conformity. If I go through these rituals, if I keep these rules, if I put up this facade, then God will be pleased. But then Jesus comes and he establishes the new covenant that's internal. Jeremiah 31 says, now God's law is written in our hearts. Jesus says, I'm sending my Spirit to live inside of you, to change you from your heart. So, yes, there's going to be some external change, but it's going to be from the inside out, Jesus says the law of liberty will free you internally from the bondage of sin. The work of the Spirit will free you internally. As the Spirit applies the word to your heart, God's law is liberating. I remember when I was younger hearing my parents and my youth pastor and my teachers open God's Word, and they would say, look, this is what the Bible says about your sexuality. This is how God defines gender roles. This is how God defines sexual boundaries and what you should save for marriage. And then I'd look around at my friends or TV. And if I wasn't walking in God's wisdom and in His Spirit, and if I wasn't delighting in His Word, it was pretty easy to say, you know what, this is really strict and narrow. And yet now that I'm older and I look back at all of the guilt and all of the shame and all the regret and all the brokenness that I didn't have to experience, that I didn't have to bring into my marriage, I would say to you today, listen to your pastor. Listen to your parents. Most of all, listen to God's Word. This is the perfect law of liberty. Being a doer of God's Word brings blessing. Look at verse 25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful or an intentionally forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. And James here may be remembering what his half-brother Jesus said at the end of the Sermon on the Mount when he said, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, that's not enough. Whosoever therefore heareth these sayings of mine and what? Doeth them. I will liken him unto a man, a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. If you want to walk in the way of wisdom, if you want your life to be built on a solid foundation of liberty and freedom and blessing from God, Jesus says, don't just hear my words, but do them. Let's imagine that I start a company and I hire you to be my assistant. And this company starts to grow and to prosper. And so eventually I give you the title of executive vice president. Eventually I decide, you know what, we need to expand our operations overseas. And so one day I come to you and I say, look, I want to go over to China with my family for a year. And we're going to establish an office and start a base of operations over there. And so I want to leave you in charge. And you say, well, I wouldn't know what to do. I've never run a company. And I said, look, don't worry about it. I will. I'll communicate with you. I'll tell you what to do every single day. I'll send you an email that instructs you with what you need to do, what clients to pursue, what operations to manage. You'll do fine. And so sure enough, I leave and the months pass, and every single day, religiously, I send you an email, and every time you receive an email, you read it and you reply and assure me that you've received that email. Well, a year goes by and I return and I'm all excited about the new opportunities in China. And yet when I drive up to our company headquarters, I think something's wrong. The front lawn that used to be immaculate and pristine is now overgrown with weeds. It looks like it hasn't been mowed in, well, a year. I walk up to the front door and I don't even have to use my security pass to swipe. It's already ajar. It's open. And I walk in. There's no security guard at his post. I walk up to the receptionist. She doesn't even lift her head. She's so enthralled in playing Angry Birds on her phone and listening to music on her headphones. I look around and everything is in shambles. Trash is littered everywhere. Food is spilled on the carpet. Nothing has been cleaned in months. And so I go to the elevator and I go up to the vice president's office. And when I walk in, you and the CFO have your feet propped up and you're playing video games on the big screen on the wall. And I say, what's going on? And you turn around kind of startled and you say, what do you mean? And I say, I mean, what happened? What you aren't maintaining anything that I told you to do. Didn't you get any of my emails? And you look kind of offended. You look hurt and you say, well, yeah, I got all of your emails. Remember, I replied to every single one of them. You say, in fact, I knew that those emails were so important to you that we would go over your emails every single morning for an hour. We would break up into small groups and we would study and discuss what you wrote. Wow, there's some good stuff in there, some profound ideas. You say, actually, I hate to brag, but some of us literally memorized entire sentences and paragraphs from your emails. Some of the employees actually memorized complete paragraphs, and they could tell you them by date or by subject line. We even started an email quiz team that has competitions with other email quiz teams. I said, okay, that's good. You got my emails. You read them. You understood them. But what did you do about them? And you say, do about them? We didn't do anything. Jesus tells a similar parable in Luke chapter 12 about a master who sets his steward over his household and goes away. And Jesus says, when the master comes back, blessed is that servant whom when his Lord cometh shall find so doing. Hearing the word and doing it leads to blessing. And then Jesus concludes that parable by saying, for unto whom much is given, of him shall much be required. This semester, you will be given much. You will hear God's word dozens, maybe scores, maybe hundreds of times. But if all you do is hear it, James says you're self-deceived. Because he knew that his half-brother, Jesus Christ, was the Son of God who came and died and rose again, not just for you to be a hearer, though God's word is vitally important to your life. But in order for that word and his spirit to transform you into a new creation. The only way that you can do what God's word demands is because of what Christ has done. It's because of the gospel that you can walk in wisdom from above. It's because of the gospel that you can be a doer and not a hearer only. Let's pray. Our Father, we pray that you would help us this semester to not be self-deceived. Help us to not merely hear your word superficially, but help us to stare intently, to abide in it, to delight in it, so that your spirit can use it, the perfect law of liberty, the gospel, to change us, to bless us, to set us free. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.